Let us all say amen. Indeed, we have a victory in Christ Jesus. But what does that really mean? Victory in Christ Jesus. That means as I live on this time side of life, I have to live like a victorious person, knowing that the God of heaven is always there for me. And no matter what transpires in my life, I still have the victory because Christ died on the cross to reconcile me back to his Father. As a result of being reconciled back to him, I am justified by his blood. I am sanctified by his blood. Amen. And that ought to motivate us and push us to a higher plateau in our Christian walk. No matter what transpires, I have the victory. And I want to show you that even in death, I have the victory. And so therefore, that motivates me on this time side of life to live a victorious life, that when it knocks on my door, and granted, it's going to knock.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And you know something? You're going to answer the door.
Yes.
Matter of fact, you don't even have to answer it. It's going to come in.
Okay.
And when it comes in, the question is, when it gets in, will you be in? Amen, Walls.
Yes.
I want to show us that as victorious folk, nothing on this time side of life ought to move us or sway us from knowing who's really in control.
Mm-hmm.
Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, beware, your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan has but one purpose. That's to pull you and put some doubt up here that Jesus is truly who he say he is. But Peter also says that Satan resists those that are steadfast in the faith. And church, and I want to encourage us as we go through life, learn to be victorious and live your life in such a way that when your time comes to stand before Jehovah, you will have confidence, you'll have boldness to know that you've done his will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and round about verse number 51, Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twink of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible. Boy, that's what motivates me.
Amen.
You know, I may not be the best that I can be in your eyesight, but your eyes don't matter.
Okay.
As long as he's okay. And how do I know if he's okay? I examine myself by the word.
Yes, sir.
That's why he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. I know how to be approved of God because I can examine myself through the word of God. And if I examine myself through the word of God, guess what? God teaches me how to talk. Amen, Walls.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes I don't know how to talk right.
Amen.
Don't look at me funny.
Amen.
You know, you don't know how to talk right yourself. You know, sometimes Satan gets in me. And I allow him. But I'm learning that if I keep my hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, Satan does not stand a chance. Matthew chapter 5, when you look at that account where the devil is trying to tempt Jesus, Jesus draws strength from what he knows. It is written. And I think sometimes we forget what's written. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden. Anybody got some heavy laden on you?
Amen.
Go to Jesus.
Amen.
I can't help you. He says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Amen.
For my yoke is easy, and his burden is light.
Amen.
I don't know about you. When I look at the burdens of this life, sometimes I just want to go on to glory.
Amen.
Because sometimes you just don't know which way to turn. And when you turn this way, guess who's there? The devil. When you turn this way, guess who's there? The devil. But if you always remember that God holds you in the hollow of his hand, Satan does not stand a chance. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 53. The Bible says, for the corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruptible and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. How do you get to the point that when it's time to leave here, you're happy? Oh, y'all quiet. You're joyous because you understand that this is just a Passover. I don't know about you. I got a place prepared for me. Okay. It has no mortgage. Amen. I ain't got to make no payments. The lights are always on. Boy, y'all don't hear me this morning. I got a place prepared. And it's only prepared for folk who prepare themselves down here.
Amen.
Jesus said in John chapter 14 and round about verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, many mansions. I would not have told you. I go, Stan, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, Stan.
Yes, sir.
And if I go, Stan, and prepare this place, I'm going to come and take you with me.
Amen.
But Stan, you got to do something. Mm-hmm. Well, what you want me to do, Lord? Surrender your will.
Yes.
To my will. Well, Lord, you know, I like nice things. I don't have a problem with that thing. But surrender your will to my will. But you know, Lord, sometimes I get caught up. I don't mind that. Repent and surrender your will to my will. What am I trying to say? That prepared place is only for those individuals on this time side of life that prepare themselves to make heaven their home.
Yes.
And how do I prepare myself? Through the studying of the Word of God.
Yes.
Through meditating on the Word of God. That's why the psalmist would say, Psalms division 1 verses 1 through 6, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. Who are you following this morning? Where is your delight this morning? I know it's close to 12 o'clock, and if everybody just be quiet for just a minute, I can hear the juices in your stomach saying, but I ain't ready to go. But somewhere down the line, church, we ought to be motivated and enthused when it's time to come here on the first day of the week. Do you not know one day we're going to all be gone? 100 years from now, we'll all be gone.
Yes.
But the question is, where will you spend eternity? And I don't know about you. I got some promises from God that if I surrender my will to his will, I'll eat the fruit. I'll drink from the living water.
Amen.
Jesus said that if you want to follow him, you got to give up you. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Yes, sir.
And you know, you're ready to do that.
Amen.
You've done that. She's done that. And those of us who are part of the body of Christ, we've already done that.
Yes.
The question is now, has the cross become a little dull to you? I'll turn around because I don't like the way y'all looking at me. You know when you buy a new car? Focus with me for a minute. Think of the car you really want to buy. Don't worry about no money. You got an unlimited resource. Think about the car you want to buy. And then think about what you want in it. And what color you want. Oh, man.
Leather seats.
Oh, y'all with me now? Heated and air-conditioned seat
warmers.
Oh, yes. Now, you got all that in your mind. Now, think about this. You shine. You don't even want to put it on the street. Puddle of water come, you want to drive all the way around. Come on, y'all, think about this. I know I'm down the right street. And you just shine, and you got it perfect. But if you want to make heaven your home, you got to give up all of that to follow him. He doesn't mind you having it, but you gotta ask yourself a question. If I'm gonna make heaven my home, God, what do you want me to do? What do you need me to do? Well, he said, first and foremost, I need you to get out the way.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm learning the only reason I'm the best husband in the world is because I've gotten out of the way. And only time I mess up is when I get in the way. Mm-hmm. You know, grumpy attitude. Mm-hmm. You know, don't go my way. Mm-hmm. How y'all doing, brothers? Y'all feeling that? But as long as I'm out of us, you said sisters too? Oh, boy, I see it. See, I may not know a lot, but I hear good. But it's amazing that Jesus just wants us to get out of the way, and he will make a better way for us.
Amen.
But that requires sacrifice. That requires commitment. That requires you and I being obedient to God and what God requires. Mm-hmm. Being a Christian, I told him this morning, sometimes it's an easy task. Sometimes it's a difficult task.
Yes, sir.
But what makes it a great task is knowing that the God I serve is always there for me.
Amen.
This morning, who do you really follow? We just sung a song where Jesus said, I traveled down a lonely road and nobody seems to care. Have we gotten to that point in America?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Have we gotten to that point? How about in the church? Have we gotten to the point to where the body of Christ really doesn't matter? Yeah, y'all quiet. You pop in when you feel like it. And then when you're here, you're really not here.
Mm-hmm.
Ever been in a place like that?
Yeah.
You go somewhere and you really didn't want to go, but you went because you didn't want to hear nobody's mouth.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. You're here this morning because you really didn't want to hear the preacher, but you know you got to be here because the preacher knows what you need, just like he knows what he needs. Huh? And as you're here, it's my job to give you something that you can hold on to as the week unfolds. For the next few minutes, Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, with a title, Who Are You Following? We live in a world to where it's easy to follow everybody, is it not?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, everybody just pull out your phone. I don't see very few pages turning anymore, but that's okay. As long as I know you can turn to the Bible and not to the internet.
That's right.
I better check up here and see who's on the internet. Amen. I'm being facetious, but I'm being true at the same time. And so in this text here, Jesus comes upon one of the disciples that he's going to have follow him. And he has a very important job. He's probably not well-liked, because most people don't like the IRS.
That's right.
Only if you're getting a refund. But if you got to pay, boy, you hesitate, you write the check, and you just sit it there, but you really don't want to give it to them.
Right.
Then, if you think you can get by, you'll take a few penalties, and you hope there's a little amnesty in the process, do we not? But Jesus here, as he passes by, the Bible says in verse number 9 of Matthew chapter 9, and as Jesus passed forth from hence, he saw a man named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, follow me. And I want you to look at Matthew's mindset and attitude. No doubt, Matthew is a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt, Matthew understands that there's a Messiah coming.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt, Matthew, as he is a tax collector, it might not be well-liked, but he knows what God requires.
Yep.
And so Jesus comes along, sees him sitting there taking the tax, and Jesus says, follow me. And I want you to look at his attitude. See, because Jesus calls each and every one of us to follow him.
Amen.
And some of us say, well, Lord, let me go bury my father. Some of us say, well, you know, I got some company coming and I can't follow you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. But anyway, that don't cost you nothing. But the Bible says, and he rose. Now, you in charge of Caesar's money. And you know, we ain't gonna leave no money. You know, matter of fact, some of us have walked through muddy water, climbed the tallest mountain for a dollar.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
But look at his attitude. The Bible says, and he arose and followed him. He done forgot about his responsibility as a tax collector. He done forgot about his responsibility to Caesar, because he sees that there is a higher responsibility that he needs to be in charge of. And that responsibility is to follow what Jesus requires of him. I wonder why he's doing this. Because I believe Matthew knows that Jesus is the author and the finisher of his faith. And so he's willing to rise and leave everything behind to follow this Jesus. Church, how about you this morning? How many of us are really willing to follow Jesus and to follow him the way he wants us to follow him? See, there's your way, there's my way, and there's God's way. And God's way, most of the time, don't connect with our way. And somewhere down the line, when you understand what God really requires of us, it means you will follow him with mama, without mama.
Amen.
With daddy, without daddy.
That's right.
With your brothers and sisters, without your brothers and sisters.
Right.
Why? Because when it's time to follow Jesus, nothing really matters but doing what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew understands that. And the Bible says he arose and he followed him. And he came, and it came to pass, as Jesus said at meat in the house, behold, many of the religious folk. This is pretty powerful. Many of the Pharisees saw it and said to his disciples, why eateth your masters with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard this, he said unto them, that they that have meaning, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous. Might want to underline that. Jesus didn't come for the folks that claim to be righteous. He didn't come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. Powerful text, because here it shows that Jesus came for a purpose. And that purpose was to reconcile man back to his Father. That purpose was to show man that if man would trust God, if man would depend on God, man would be able to be saved by God from all of his sins and all of his iniquities. See, to follow Jesus requires something. Point number one, it requires total surrender. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. It requires a regular diet of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6. It requires that an individual make his calling an election sure. And the only way you're going to make your calling an election sure is you got to do something in your everyday life to really follow Jesus. You know, it just amazes me that we can follow everything on social media and we know everything that's going on in the world, around the world, but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 It blows me away. You can get on that phone, you can get on that iPad, and boy, you can, and it's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
It'll talk to you.
Okay.
I need to find so-and-so. Okay, hold on. But how many times have you asked Siri to find thus saith the Lord? How many times have you asked Siri to help me make my calling an election sure? And it's amazing. Sometimes I look at my little grandson, 7 years old. I don't even know how to hardly turn on the phone. He can turn it on. He can go into almost any site you can imagine. And I'm saying, how do you know all of this? But do you know where Matthew is? Yes, I do. How about us? You know, we're so good with these iPhones, but do we know how many books in the Bible? Do we know how many in the old? In the new? Do we know how many dispensation of, y'all quiet?
Amen.
Or the periods of time? And you know, and all of this shows who we really are. Do we know the commandment that God gave to us? Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. Do we know that? But let me ask the question. How many of y'all got Instagram? Facebook. Oh, yeah, y'all. I haven't got you. It's amazing how the world can dictate to us, and we have a difficult time just holding up the banner of the cross. That don't cost you nothing. That ain't even part of my lesson. But it's just amazing that in order to follow Jesus, it requires you to really focus on what he says.
Amen.
Look at what Paul Peter would say. In 2 Peter chapter 1, And round about verse number 3, look at what Peter says. Peter says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that have called us unto glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us the exceeding precious and promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith. See, in order to really serve God, you got to really develop your faith in him. You really got to develop his mindset. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. Peter says, and besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Maybe that's the problem. Have you forgotten where you come from? Oh, I'm not talking about whether you were rich or poor. Have you forgotten you were brought out of the cesspools of this old world? Have you forgotten he forgave you of all of your sins? And somewhere down the line, when you understand what someone's done for you, doesn't it change your life?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why you play the lottery. You want to change. Come on, y'all sitting here. Don't chuck and jive. We want a change of life. Jesus can change your life, but it requires something. It requires a total surrender of your will to his will. It requires that you obey his gospel.
Amen.
What is the gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach to you, whereby you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I had received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. He died on the cross to reconcile all of us back to his Father.
Amen.
The Bible says you hear the word. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Believe that this is the inspired word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That passage of scripture there is where I hang my hat. You know why? Because if I serve him the way he commands, I want to say this the right way, I know he'll take care of everything else.
Amen.
It may not be the way I want it taken care of, but guess what? He said he'll take care of it. The Bible says one must repent of his sins. Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell your next, if you repent, you're going to perish. The Bible says you must confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Jesus says, confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men, he says, I'll deny you before my Father. All of this brings us unto salvation. One is not saved until one goes into the watery grave of baptism. I know what the world teaches, that baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace, but the Bible says baptism saves us now. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and then he asked that you remain faithful.
Amen.
Until he calls. What does that mean? Follow the preacher?
No.
What does that mean? Come to church all the time? That's part of it.
Yes, sir.
That's part of it. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. When Jesus called for Matthew to follow him, no doubt Matthew knew that this was the Messiah. No doubt Matthew was willing to forsake all others to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew knew that in following Jesus, it was going to lead to some persecution. He knew following Jesus would lead to some ridicule. He knew following Jesus might not have a lot of friends, but he was willing to follow Jesus because Jesus had words of eternal life. Point number two, and the final point, who are you following this morning? You know, it's real easy to say I'm following Jesus. But if I was to take your life and check it through the life book, would I really find you with Jesus? See, because to really follow Jesus, one has to change one's lifestyle. And one's lifestyle has to be measured by what thus saith the Lord. See, to really follow Jesus, Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, you got to learn how to control you. And the only way you're going to control you is with the Word. And the only way you're going to know the Word is you got to take time every single day to study and meditate upon it. Would to God that we would treat the book, the B-I-B-L-E, like we do this.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, you can be dead asleep, mm-hmm. and you hear bing. Mm-hmm. You know I'm telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And we're getting constant texts. And boy, we can read everything on there. And the Bible sitting there over there on the desk saying, come unto me, and I'll help you out. See, to really follow Jesus, one must be willing to sacrifice his life in service. Jesus said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Church, I hope and pray that as we go through our Christian walk, that we stay focused on what's going on around us. Church, there is high time that you and I wake out of our sleep and realize salvation is closer today than it was yesterday. There's going to come a time in our lives when you're going to need the Lord. And I hope and pray that as you call upon him, he will be there for you. I hope and pray that as this world prepares to do its thing with the president, that you and I are not asleep in the process. Amen.
Amen.
As the world we look in has changed drastically, I want to encourage us, don't allow the world to suck us up to the point to where it causes us to lose our soul. Jesus called Matthew, and the Bible said he arose and he followed the Lord. I hope and pray that you will do the same. As this year continues to unfold, church, I want to encourage you to stay motivated, stay enthused. And I am, because always somebody wants to put the Lord on. That's the most joyous thing on this time side of life. I hope and pray that we do not become like old Israel. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, Israel had gotten to the point to where when the word was spoke, they really didn't want to hear. You know, 12 o'clock. I don't know, preacher, it's time for you to stop. I turned you off about 30 minutes ago. But I hope we don't become like Israel, because they gotten to the point to where God was not really that important. You know how we do from time to time? Sometimes he ain't that important, is he? Until you're flat on your back and you're looking him in your face, in his face, and then he's really important, isn't he? Yeah. But I hope we don't become like Israel. Because Israel gotten to the point to where they wanted to be just like everybody else in the world. Sound like us, huh?
Yeah.
To the point to where God just let them do their thing. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, listen to what the Lord says. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayers, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I commanded the locusts to devour the land, and I sent pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal the land. Sound like America needs to wake up, huh?
Amen.
Sound like you and I in the church need to wake up. God cannot do for us until we surrender our will. Hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart, to remind us that, church, we serve an awesome God. And I don't know about you, I've been in a lot of things in my life, but this is about the best thing that I can find on this time side of life. And not only on this time side of life, on the life to come. And I want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. You're not busy? Time to get busy.
Amen.
Want to encourage those of you that are not members of the body of Christ. You've heard the word of God this morning. And that word says that you need to obey him by being buried in water for the remission of your sins. And then he adds you to the church, which is his body. If you're here, if you're troubled, this is the best time to ask folks to pray for you. This is the best time to just cry and say, Lord, I've known it, but I know with you, you can make everything all right. Whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing the song.